Well, today we continue our sermon series on the life of King David, and we come to a very difficult text that we need to talk about and preach on. And to set it up, we need to remember what happened last week. If you remember last week, David was at home alone, and he'd sent all of his mighty warriors off to war, and they were fighting battles, and David noticed Bathsheba. And Bathsheba's husband was out fighting a battle, but he fell in love with Bathsheba, and he lay with her, and she became pregnant. And that was not a good thing. And David knew that that was going to be a very bad thing, not only for him and Bathsheba, but for the kingdom also that God had entrusted him to rule over. And so David tried to cover it up through having Uriah the Hittite come home, but that didn't work. And so finally he had Uriah the Hittite killed. So now he had the first offense of adultery and then the second offense of murder on his shoulders. And everybody knew about this in the kingdom. It's not like you can keep something like this a secret. And so Nathan comes and confronts David and says, "You have sinned." And last week we saw this incredible confession of King David where he falls before the Lord and says, "I have sinned, please forgive me." And God did. But that's where we pick up the story today. Because now Nathan tells David some more information about that sin and the consequences of that sin. And so we begin reading from our scripture reading this morning, where David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan replies this, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this you have made enemies of the Lord show utter contempt, the son born to you will die." And so the child is born. But soon after the child is born, he gets an illness. And it appears from the text that it is a very, very severe illness. And David, looking at this illness and seeing what is happening, falls to the ground in grief because he knows that this child likely will die. And so the description of this from Scripture is really quite incredible. He falls to the ground. They come and they try to get him to do anything, and he won't do it. He won't eat. He won't sleep. He stays on the ground grieving for this child. Now, if you have lived any amount of time on this earth, there will be times in your life when you will grieve like King David did. There will be times in your life where something will happen to you, just like happened to King David, and the grief is so overwhelming you can't even stand, and you fall to the ground and you weep. It might be a child, or perhaps it might be a parent, or a brother, or a sister, or somebody close to you that has died or has fallen ill. And if any of you live any amount of time in this world, you know it's going to happen at some point. If you're married, there's a 50-50 chance it may happen to you. Times when you are so overtaken by grief that you can do nothing but fall to the ground. And how do you get up off the ground? How do you work in your life? How does God work in your life so that at some point you can actually get up off the ground and move again? That's the question that David faced in our text today, and it's the one we're going to look at because the way that David faced it was an incredible blessing in his life, and it's a good example for us. The first thing that we notice in the text actually comes from the beginning of the text, which is this. When Nathan replies, "The Lord has taken away your sin, you are not going to die, but because by doing this you have made enemies, the son born to you will die." You see, a lot of people think that God is up there like some guy with lightning bolts. And every time you sin, he's out there throwing lightning bolts in your path, punishing you for the sin. I remember years ago, this was in 1980 or 81, Jennifer and I went to Romania. And we went to Bucharest, which is the capital of Romania. And this was long before the Iron Curtain had fallen down. And Ceausescu was still in charge of Romania. And we had come from the United States, and we landed in Bucharest, and I remember the next morning walking out into the streets of Romania, and on every single street corner, there was an armed guard just watching you, waiting for you to make that one mistake. And let me tell you, folks, it's unnerving. You walk on the streets of Romania, and you're an American, it's like, I don't even know the culture. How do I know if I'm making a mistake? My goodness. And they're there with their machine guns looking at you and watching you. I remember when we left Romania and landed in Greece, which is a freer country, how excited we were to get out of that oppression. But a lot of people feel that that's what God's doing. That when that he's constantly watching us and watching our every mistake, and every time we make a mistake, he's going to throw something at us and punish us. But if you read the text carefully, you'll find out that that's not what's going on at all in this text. Because Nathan comes to him and he says, quite clearly, the Lord has taken away your sin. And we saw last week how David spoke that beautiful Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. And Nathan tells him, the Lord has taken away your sin. This is not a punishment for you, because when God has taken away your sin, he doesn't come back then afterwards and punish you for that sin. That sin is gone. As far as the east is from the west, as white as snow, that sin is gone. And we can have the confidence that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, when we have that relationship with him, that our sins are cleansed. God does not punish us. As a matter of fact, he even goes farther. He says this, you are not going to die. Now that may seem strangely placed, but the fact is, what was the punishment of the death for those two sins that David committed? It was death. And Nathan tells King David, he says, you are not going to die. God has cleansed you from this. The fact that, but then he says, but. And remember, it's not and the child, it's but. The child is going to die anyway. You see, God cleansed David. He was not punishing David, but the child is still going to die. Now, this is a hard text, because the question you ask, why in the world would God still allow that child to die? What is God doing in this instance? And the fact is, God is working in King David's life. You can see it here, again, in the verses at the beginning of the chapter. But because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt, the son born to you will die. That word, utter contempt, is repeated in the Hebrew. It's basically contempt. The King James translates it blaspheme, and the RSV translates it scorn. The word really means the opposite of glory. The opposite of God's incredible glory. The kavod glory that God deserves, the incredible power and majesty that God deserves, and what Nathan told David was, because you violated that, God's going to allow this child to continue to die. You say, I can't believe that God would allow that. But see, there are places in history where we see this happening all the time. If you remember Job, the story of Job, that's exactly what this story is all about. Job is a righteous man, lives and walks with God, and yet he was allowed to lose everything. He lost his wealth, he lost his family, and he lost his health. And all of his friends are like, you gotta curse God. I mean, you were a righteous man and he allows this stuff to happen to you. That's not right. But Job doesn't curse God. You see, we think that every time bad things happen, it must be somebody's fault. It must be a punishment or a curse. You remember in John, Jesus is walking by a blind man, and the disciples say, why is this man blind, Lord? Did he sin, or did his mom sin, or did his dad sin? But what did Jesus say? Neither of those things. He's blind so that God can show his glory. And Jesus reaches over to him and tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he's no longer blind. He can see. And you say, how is it that God could allow a man to be blind for all those years? And the answer is, so that God could show his glory. And the same thing happened with Job. Job would not curse God. He cursed the day he was born, and then God came to him and said, you don't know who I am. Were you there when I created the earth and the universe? I am more powerful than you. I know what's going on in this world. Don't question me. Just follow me. And Job does. He never curses God. And God restores to Job everything that he lost. His health, his wealth, his family. It was said that Job's new daughters that were born to him were more beautiful than any of the other daughters. God restored to Job everything. God wanted to teach Job, and then God restored Job. And this is a hard lesson for Christians, because there are times when you're going to be falling down in grief, and you're going to say, Lord, I don't understand what you're teaching me. This doesn't seem right. And when you're in the middle of that grief, you can't even think about that. But years later, after you've looked back at that grief, a Christian will see the good that could have come out of that grief. It's a hard lesson. But God uses those times in our life to draw us closer to Him, to see His heart, to round us, to shape us. And if you've ever talked to anybody that's had an incredible amount of grief in their life, you'll find out that they are humble and sincere and compassionate people that God has formed over time through terrible process, and yet He does it. That's what God was doing to King David. He was forming King David. You say, yeah, but the life of a child? The life of a child? Why would you do that? Well, there's a few things you should know. First of all, David firmly believes that when this child dies, it's in heaven with God. You know, the one who dies is the one that gets it off easy, if you think about it. They die, and then the next second, in the next breath, they're in the presence of the Almighty God, worshiping Him forever. It's the ones here that are left. We're the ones that grieve. That's an important thing to understand. But secondly, God did keep His promise with David. Even though this child died and David loved this child and he pleaded for this child, God gave another child to David. And it's if you read the commentaries, they will say that at this point in time, David's life changes dramatically. He's more humbled. He's more compassionate. He becomes a better king. And yet, God still remains His promise. You remember at the very beginning of this sermon series how God promised that through David there would be someone that would reign in the throne of Israel forever. Well, that person was born to Bathsheba because David went and lay with Bathsheba and had another son. Now, David wanted to name this son Solomon, which comes from the root word shalom. David was at peace with this decision. He was at peace with it. But through Jedediah, or through Nathan, the word comes that God wants to name this son Jedediah. And Jedediah means beloved of God. What David found out was that the promise of God would still be carried out. This child was a beloved of God. And if you look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew, we find out that the genealogy goes straight through David and straight through Solomon. But it's not even mentioned as Solomon as Bathsheba. It says Solomon, the son of Uriah the Hittite, or the son of the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So even that sin is noted in Scripture. And God allowed His promises to come through, even though there was that terrible grief. And the fact that God used death to bring about such a thing. Think about another child that was born in Bethlehem many years ago. And this child was born to live on this earth, to set an example, but also the whole purpose of this child to come into this earth was pointing towards the cross. At the point in time when He would hang on that cross and suffer utter rejection from God so that we would never have to. And through that death came the whole rebirth of mankind. That's the way God works. It's a terrible lesson to learn, but it is a lesson that we learn. And when we are grieving, God is not punishing us. He is working through us so that we may understand His glory and rely upon Him to get through that grief. And we know it's not punishment because Jesus Christ died for us. May you always remember that in times of your grief. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.